and I'll set that in a second. But this month's learning is sponsored by the... Oh, we got a month of learning sponsored by the Matityahu family. Zeich and Nishmas Mordechai ben Nasan. Today's Shir Mar Refu Shlema 4. Moshe Chaim ben Yehudis, Rezel Rivka Bas Sarafega, Daniel Yaakov ben Yehudis, and Nischus Far Achenu B'nei Yisrael. I started that. Okay, so we are on to the fifth Shir day, which means today is Drash day. Right, then we are going to look at something and see how we like give a drasha, a sermon, a homiletic topic, a Musar teaching, perhaps. So for today, I'd like to focus on the words, and I alluded to this in the first couple of shirim we gave on the text itself. But the famous words, Vayomer Elokim, Perek Aleph Pasuk Chafav, Vayomer Elokim, Nase Adam Betzamenu Kidmusenu, that we're, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So the Nase Adam kind of sticks out at us, right? The Nase Adam is a little odd that Hashem is saying we're going to, implying that there's a we, that there's multiple aspects in this making of man. So Rashi quickly jumps in and says, quoting from the Medrash, quoting from the Gemara, "Anu anvasnuso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu lamandu mikan," that we learn the humility of God here. Lefisha adam bidmus hamalachim v'yiskenu bo, because man is made in the image of the bidmus hamalachim, in the image of the angels, v'yiskanu bo. And they would be jealous of man, meaning, you know, all of a sudden you got a new sibling in, right? So you got to give the older siblings a vote about whether you're going to have another kid, right? I'm sure everybody does that. All right. So lefichach nimlach bahen. So therefore he went to them. V'cheshudan es hamalachim, and when the malachim were judged it, hu nimlach b'pamalya shelo. So then he went into his own abode. Okay, and then it gives a couple of other sources for this as well. Fine. So, oh, and then the Rashi, the next Rashi, if you look on that page, so about eight lines from the top, there's a second Rashi, where it says, Nasa Adam, the same Dibur HaMaskil, so Nasa Adam Beis. And then Rashi comments, Afal Pishalo Siyuhu Biyitzirasso. And he comments, even though they didn't actually help in the creation of it, because as soon as, after Nasa Adam, in the language of plural, it goes to a singular language, and God is the one who does all the work, right? V'yesh makom l'minim lirdos, and there's room for the minim, for the apikorsim, the heretics, to undermine this, right? Lo nimne, and say, you see, there's multiple gods. Lo nimne hakasav milimo derech eretz umidas anava. The Torah, the pasuk doesn't shy away from teaching us derech eretz and midos and the mida, the characteristic of humility. She had gadol nimlach v'notel rishus min hakatan, that a big person should go and get rishus from the little person, right? Notel rishus min hakatan. V'im kasav ese adam, and if we only would have said, I will make man, l'olaman hushayah medaber im beis dino elimatz, we would never learn that he's supposed to speak with others, rather he should only speak with himself. So Rashi acknowledges that this is a risky proposition here, right? It's a risky proposition, right? We want to teach this idea of humility, so very good, that's a very nice lesson. But there's a risk that comes along with teaching the language, the lesson of humility, particularly in this context, right? Because people are going to say, Hashem is being, they're not going to understand as a lesson in humility, and rather they will try to understand it as a lesson in polytheism, right? That there's a committee operating up there that's deciding together about what to do. So Hashem took the risk, and he taught this lesson. So there is a book that was put together. His friend didn't call him our beloved teacher. A collection of sermons inspired by Rabbi Dr. Jacob J. Schachter Shlita. So Rabbi J.J. Schachter, some may have heard of him. So he is he's the rabbi in the Jewish Center in Manhattan for a while, and then went to Boston, and then now he's in NYU. He works in Yeshiva University, and he runs something called Yarchei Kala, of which I'm a part of, where he has kind of a group of rabbis now 40, 50, 60, 70 rabbis that kind of come together and learn together. You know, we meet every year in a different city. Last year we met in Boca Raton. A couple of years ago, we actually hosted. Me and Rabbi Schwindman both hosted. There was a day here, and there were 2 days by us in Beth. Or no, sorry, 1 day in Beth HaMedrash, and 2 of the days were here. And we get together and learn. So a couple of years ago, this is actually before I got involved, a couple of the guys got together and said, let's publish a book in his honor. It's called, His Mother Didn't Call Me a Beloved Teacher, because that's his way, whenever he quotes a source, I'll say the Ramban. So I'll say, His Mother Didn't Call Him the Ramban. Right, so who's the Ramban? So his name is Moshe, and it gives a little bit of bayah. That's how he introduces it. So that was the that explains the title of the book. So all the different guys, a lot of guys that are involved with this, all wrote a piece of Torah. So the first one actually in the book is written by Rabbi Shalom Axelrod. I believe he is right now. I think he's still the a rabbi in the Young Gazelle of Woodmere. And he raises this question. He says, why is this the time? Why is this the ideal time that this lesson of humility is being taught? And particularly if, because the rest of the days we don't have this language. So why here does God decide this is the time when I'm going to teach this language of humility? And he claims that perhaps at the beginning of creation, at least the beginning of the creation of man, right? So God is also teaching the idea that there is a necessity of taking risk. Part and parcel of being a human being is that you have to do things that sometimes you have to put yourself out for things. If you're going to grow, you have to take a risk sometimes. And it goes and quotes the famous Medrash where Hashem offered it, where the debate is described. Right? This Hashem asked them, well, there was a debate, and the Medrash describes that there was a debate. Hashem got up and said, no, what do we think, Chevra? Should we create man? And there were different midos had different takes on it, right? And there was a tie. And the midah of MS got up and said, I think that we shouldn't create this man because they're going to be faulty. To which the midah of chesed, or the midah of and the chesed omer yiv, right? And the chesed got up and said that no, we should go ahead and do it. So the Medrash describes that Hashem took the midah of emes, threw the midah of emes away, and said, okay, well, the midah of emes is thrown away, therefore that now we have a vote, one in favor of creating man, and now we're going to go ahead and create man. Right, so what's going on here? Why the Midah Emes is being thrown away? What's the story? So he quotes here from the Kutzker Rebbe, that how do you understand that Hashem took Emes and threw it to the ground? So the Kutzker Emes offered the following idea. He says, Emes shel al yivra shel menia mikol pu'ula ina Emes. He says, an Emes, a truth that says, because the truth that defines truth as not changing anything, right, is not really a true Emes. That MS truth dictates that, yeah, we recognize what the risks are, recognize what the ideas are, and we make educational decisions about moving forward. And MS that says, well, this has never been done before, and therefore we're never going to be able to do it, right, which sometimes you hear in the business I'm in, right? So that means that that's not MS. That's not truth. That's just not stepping forward, right? So the idea of MS... So the idea here is indeed that part and parcel with being a human being is sometimes going ahead and taking the risk. He has an interesting poem here that he quotes from an anonymous poem about risk. To laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To reach out for another is to risk involvement. To expose feelings is to risk exposing our true self. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To hope is to risk despair. To try at all is to risk failure. But to risk we must, for the great hazard of life is to risk nothing. Right? So risk is a very important aspect of being human, and perhaps that's why it's part and parcel with the creation of man. He actually goes on and tells this like wild, wild story about somebody who went, took a risk, and a soldier that was in Lebanon. His life was, I don't want to ruin the end. If anybody wants to see it, you can let me know. I'll send it along. Okay, so that is interesting aspect number one. But I saw the in terms of the inherent involvement and the inherent connection of the idea of Nasa Adam, the idea of Rashi is really talking about the midah of another. What about the midah of another? Why is that particularly the thing that needs to be taught here? I mean, what did God risk? The risk was I need to demonstrate. Right, the pashat explanation, the simple explanation, what's going on here is not I'm risking the world because of, but what can I do? A man has to be created, right? The risk was in order to teach a midah, right? God wanted to teach the midah of humility, the characteristic of humility, right? And therefore, right, he went ahead and taught this in plural language, even though it's a risk to teach it in plural language. Right, so why is that important? Why was that worth the risk, so to speak? So there is a sefer out called Or HaTzafon. Or HaTzafon is based on the sichos of the Altar of Slobodka. You've heard of the Altar of Slobodka, you've heard that name. Altar of Slobodka was wasn't really the Rosh Yeshiva, he was kind of the Mashkiach of the Yeshiva in Slobodka, which was, I don't know, if not the greatest, amongst the greatest of yeshivas in pre-war Europe. Even though he wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva, he's really the one who was most involved with Talmidim, amongst the people, amongst his Talmidim that rank him as perhaps the singular biggest influence on their lives, I think, would be people like Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, people like Rav Aaron Cutler, people like Rav Victor Miller, I think Rav Victor Miller, I'm pretty sure, right? That chevra, that cadre of people that learned there in Slobodka, right? So they owe much of their personal development to the Altar of Slobodka and his emphasis on what we call godless adam, greatness of man, and perhaps even their style in drash, their style in understanding, analyzing the actions of our avos, right? So or understanding aspects of Chumash they perhaps owe to him. So this Sefer Or HaTzafon, I believe, is pretty much entirely on Sefer Bereishis. So maybe we'll be hearing a lot of this over the course of the year. But all of a sudden, way in the beginning, and he has an essay entitled Midos Videos. And he points to a pasuk in, I don't want to sneak ahead to Perek Beis, but in Perek Beis, pasuk Tes Zayin, right after the creation of man again. Right now, why is man created again in Perek Beis? Right, so that's something that we will have to analyze. But in Perek Beis, it says, "Vayitzav Elokim es Adam al Adam limor mikol eitz hagan ochel tochel meitz hadas tovra lo suchel mimenu ki v'yom achalcha mimenu mos tamus." Right, Hashem commands Adam. This is Perek Beis pasuk Tes Zayin. Hashem commands Adam, saying, "You're going to eat from all of the trees, right? And from the Eitz Hadas, you're not going to be able to eat." So the Gemara actually analyzes this pasuk and learns out the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach from this pasuk. Right, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Dun Vav Hamad Beis. Right, that's the section where it discusses the issues of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, what non-Jews are supposed to do and what they are supposed to do, and how they are perhaps are similar and how they perhaps are very different from what our obligations are. I remember when I was in yeshiva, so this is apropos to some of the events coming up in Philadelphia in the next month, with the arrival of the Pope, right? So when I was in yeshiva, all of a sudden one day, 30 cardinals walked into the base medrash. This actually got a lot of news, made it into news at the time. Sounds like a joke, right? 30 cardinals walk into a base medrash. But they were in America for some kind of tour, and they wanted to see what Jewish learning looks like. I didn't think it was so, some people were upset about it, some people, whatever. It was a big controversy at the time whether this was appropriate action or not. But the facts are that all of a sudden 30 guys wearing all red walk into the base medrash one day. What? And red kippahs, right. So that's how you knew that they were yeshiva guys, was the kippahs were red. Right, that's how you knew. So, with them, of course, there's a big contingent, so there's a whole press corps with it and the whole story. So I remember they're there, and we were kind of warned that morning that this was going to happen, and we were told, just continue what you're doing. They don't want to. Interrupt. They want to see. That's what their goals are. So I'm a little learning. I get up and go get a safer from the shelf, and this guy, the cardinal of Angola, is standing next to me. So I'm looking up the safer. So the guy in the press is like, talk to each other, So he asks me what I'm learning, and truth is that day we were learning that sukkah. We were having a bechina actually on that sukkah dealing with the Shem Mitzvah Tzei Noach, where it says things there like, a guy that keeps Shabbos is chayiv misa, and it says things like, you're not allowed to teach Torah to non-Jews. So I'm like, right, but part of that halacha is that you're allowed to teach things A that apply to them, and B you're allowed to teach Torah Shabbat. So he asked me about the Torah Shabbat. You're allowed to teach things in the Bible, right? There are various proofs for. So I told them, we're learning about the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, which are, of course, applicable to you, and, these are some of the things that we have our tests on. So anyway, this was that sugya. So on over the course of that sugya in Sanhedrin, so it comments that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Adam Harishon lo nitztave ela al avodah zara bilvad. that really Adma Rishon was only got one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and that is the prohibition of Avodah Zarah, and it's based on that pasuk. Shneemar Vaisav Hashem Elokim Es Adam, that Hashem Elokim commanded Adam, that's really referring to Avodah Zarah. If you look in the pasuk, it's referring to the tree of Eitz HaChaim, Eitz HaDaas, so what's going on here? So Tosfos asks that question. Tosfos says, well, the Eitz HaChaim, Eitz HaDaas, that wasn't for generations to come. That was only for Adam and Chava. And didn't do too well, right? But the mitzvah of Adam, the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah, that was forever and ever, and that was taught to Adam right away on day one. So the Alter of Slobodka says, okay, so in order to understand what Avodah Zarah is, you have to then understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Right, and then what's really a Kadosh Baruch Hu? What is a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So a Kadosh Baruch Hu is represented by Midos. So what do we know about a Kadosh Baruch Hu so far? Well, he creates the world, and he tries to demonstrate Midos while creating the world. So the Alter of Slobodka says, so that is teaching us a very important thing, that some people distinguish between mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveru versus mitzvahs ben adam l'makom, that there's our God mitzvahs and there's our people mitzvahs, right? And the two are perhaps distinct from one another, and that's when you hear certain things like, well, I'm a good person, right? I don't have to worry about the mitzvahs, I just concentrate on being a good person. So Alter of Slobodka says that's false, right? The two, the idea of mitzvahs ben adam l'makom and mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveru are completely intertwined, and you see that from the beginning. That's the point of putting Nasa Adam in there, to tell you that there is God things, and part of the aspects of God things are morality, the idea of midos, the idea of characteristics, the idea of acting well. And he goes on and adds, the Alter of Slobodka does, and he says, and where do you think the idea of morality comes from? Right? People walk around saying, well, I don't worry about God, I just worry about being a good person. Well, Altazok says, well, how do you know what it means to be a good person, right? And so, well, I could feel it, right? So even go even more, well, I know what's good, I know what's bad, I have an internal compass. Well, what do you think that internal compass is, asks Nassim Sifin. In the Or HaZafon, that internal compass is your neshama, right? That is the piece of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, chelek Elokai mimal, right? That is the portion of a Kaddish Baruch Hu that is contained within each and every person. So he continues and builds upon this and adds a few things. That he says when Moshe, after the Chet HaEgel, after the sin of the golden calf, right? So what happens in the Chumash after the sin of the golden calf? Right, so the Jews are sitting, and first Hashem like kind of taps Moshe on the shoulder and says, you know, you might want to take care of that, right? So Moshe goes, and he throws down the tablets, and he takes care of that, right? And then the ensuing discussion is okay. And Moshe, by the way, gets a kapara at that point. Right? Already Moshe has gotten tshuva for the Jewish people, and then he goes back and turns to Hashem and says, okay, but like, how do we avoid this in the future? And there's this discussion that continues on about Moshe and Hashem about, you know, so what can we do for the people? And one of the things that the famous line that Moshe turns to Hashem is and says, right, Bikesh Moshe Hashem ve'omar hodiyani na estar kecha ve'de'echa. He says, let me know your ways, and if I know your ways, I could transmit your ways, and people will understand you a lot more, and there'll be much more of a greater connection. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, he says, well, nobody will see my face and will live, right? That's the classic answer, right? Hashem says, well, sorry, I can't do that. But Hashem does give him something. What does Hashem give him? Hashem turns around and gives him Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, right? Hashem, Kol Racham L'Chanun, right? The idea of the 13 characteristics that we're going to repeat over and over again over the next couple of weeks, beginning the Saturday night Baslichos, right? So that is Hashem's response to Moshe. You want to know about me? You want to know what makes me tick? Well, these are my characteristics, right? Those were said. I mean, most people think, "Oh, that was what was Moshe said in order to get atonement for the sin of the Chet HaEgel." No, they were atoned already for the sin of the Chet HaEgel, and Hashem is instructing Moshe, saying, "If you want to take, if you want to avoid these things in the future, if you need to ask for repentance in the future, these are the words that you're going to use." And we say that over the course of, you know, Chet HaEgel didn't end sin for the Jewish people. We have something called Sefer Bamidbar, right? And over the course of Sefer Bamidbar, Moshe invokes various of those attributes right, depending on what the sin was, in order to occupy tshuva for the Jewish people. What is that? How is that a response to Moshe's request of Odenia Estarchecha? So Hashem's response is, you're not going to know all of my ways, you're not going to know why I do what I do, but you could know what makes me tick. You are going to know my midah. I'm going to tell you my characteristics, and your job then is to incorporate that those characteristics in your own life. Right, that Hinei Masha Havir Kadosh Baruch Hu was Kol Tuvo Al Panav Shel Moshe, that Hashem imposed His God and all of His goodness to Moshe, Veheralos, and showed him His ways. Hakavana Haisa, the idea was L'chayev Es Adam Sheilach Behen, in order to obligate man to do this, and that's what we see. Mahu Chanun V'Rachum Afata Haya Chanun V'Rachum, that just as God is merciful and compassionate, so too you're supposed to be merciful and compassionate, right? So good, and therefore we also understand he gives one more pshat here. Well, he gives a few more, but I'll tell you over one more, that the pasuk tells us by the end of Parshas Noach. So at the end of Parshas Noach, there's something that happens called the Migdal Bavel, right? The Tower of Bavel, right? The people go and they build this giant thing. So Hashem goes and He sees. So the pasuk tells us when Hashem goes down and He looks, it says Vayirid Hashem Liros, and the pasuk says Asher Banu Bnei Adam, right? The things that were built by the Bnei Adam, right? By the people. So the Medrash says, who do we think built these things? The Bnei HaGemalim, right? The children of the Bnei Chamorim VeGemalim. You think the children of the donkeys and the camels built this thing, right? Obviously, it was the Bnei Adam. What is being referred to when it says the Bnei Adam? So the Medrash says, so rather, why is it that that we're referencing here the Bnei Gemalim, the children? The Bnei Adam. So rather, the Medrash explains that, well, Bnei Adam el Bnei Mi, Shema Bnei Chamor v'Gamal el Bnei Adam Harishon Shakafa es Hatova. Rather, it's a reference to Adam Harishon, who denied the goodness that was done to him. V'Amar, and he said, Ha'isha Asher Nasata Imadi. He said, the woman that you placed with me, or he placed Imadi in my midst. So, what's going on here? So, as we perhaps know, that this woman is going to be created, right? And there is going to be the sin of the tree, right? And Hashem is going to come, and Chav is going to sin, and Chav is going to give the fruit to Adam, and Adam is going to sin, and Hashem is going to come to Adam, and He's going to say, Adam, what's up? And Adam is going to say something like, "Fall, she, you know, this wife that you gave me, that's the reason that I sinned." So the So the Or HaTzafon explains that what's going on here. So by Adam saying, "Well, it's not my fault; it's her fault. This woman that you placed with me, it's her fault." So what was Adam doing? Adam was being kafui tova. Adam was denying. He explains exactly what he was doing. It's a little more than that, but Adam was not being thankful for the goodness that Hashem had given him. Right? So if one is not thankful, if one does not demonstrate the characteristics of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if one does not demonstrate good midos in the way that they act, so ultimately that will lead to what? A denial of God Himself. And that's why by the Migdal Bavel, by the building of the Tower of Bavel, it refers to Adam as, right? Sorry, it refers to them as Bnei Adam, right? The children of Adam, just as they were Kafui Tova, just as they denied the goodness that was done to them, so too the Dor HaFlaga, the generation that built the Tower of Bavel, they deny the goodness that was good to them, and to the point that they deny the giver of that goodness as well. They deny Kadosh Baruch Hu. They deny Kadosh Baruch Hu Himself. And that is a few more minutes. I'll give you one more source, that there is an idea out there, right? This idea that, oh well, where we could distinguish between the things between man and God and man and man, right? So that actually there is a bigger fault than that. I mean, not just, so, all right, I'm only going to concentrate on what I feel is good in my heart, and I'm going to forget about the things that are illogical. So if you take that to the extreme, if you say, well, why do I need to do good for other people? Well, you know, social contract, right? Well, I'm going to, you know, I'll scratch his back, he'll scratch mine, and we're going to have a relationship in that way. So, if that's going to be the way that it works, so then if I do something mean adam lemakom, I'm actually breaking the contract. I mean, if you take this to the extreme, well, everything that I do then is going to be to help somebody else out. Well, how is spending $50 on a lulav and esrog helping somebody else out? How are all of the ben adam lemakom? How are all the things that I do in my life between me and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, how are any of those things helping out other people? In a way, one could say that they are denying the help to other people. I mean, if I'm going to concentrate, if I'm going to have half of my God hours, so to speak, half of my spiritual hours are going to be devoted to serving the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we're going to separate that from serving man, right? So how is that going to... So then that's almost denying, that's almost bad in the eye of a person that is looking to do the social the social contract idea. So there is a medrash that I pointed out to you from Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblatt recently, that there is a medrash in Vayikra Rabbah that comments that Sarah goes down, right? Sarah goes down to Mitzrayim, right? And right, you know the story, right? Sarah goes down to Mitzrayim, and Sarah is with, you know, doesn't succumb to the temptation, so to speak, of being with Paro, right? That's story one. So the Medrash comments in the merit of Sarah not doing that, right? Not doing that action, so the B'nai Israel later on, when they were in Mitzrayim, were also able to protect themselves from that. Right? And then in the merit of Yosef not being with the Ashes Potiphar, right, the thing in reverse, right? So therefore the men were also able to withstand. Now whether that is historically accurate, there's plenty of midrashim that perhaps indicate otherwise. But whatever power they had to withstand the temptations of Egypt later on came from that moment. So the point of that midrash is that it all merges together. That even things that are ben adam lemakom, even things that are served between man and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that also ultimately serves to create a better world, which does benefit everybody. And that the same way that I do things to benefit other people, so that ultimately goes, and that's a demonstration of bringing a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. So I think we've gone, just to review, we've gone from the idea of Nasa Adam, the idea of creating man, and Rashi being all nervous, saying, Oy vey, what's going to be? Right? There's going to create the Apikor heresy is going to come from this, right? Well, it was a risk. Well, okay, so it was a risk, but what is being gained by that risk? Why? What are we learning from the idea of teaching the midah of anava, of teaching the midah, the characteristics of humility? So that's where the Or HaTzafon, Nosson Tzvi Finkel, comes in and explains that that one could perhaps distinguish between them and say, well, there's a God aspect and there is a midah aspect, right? There's things that I do between man and man, and things that happen between man and Kadosh Baruch Hu. So so that is teaching us that it all gets intertwined. That perhaps the first instruction given to man was not to worship Avodah Zarah, and perhaps the first instruction given to man was to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but realize that part of recognizing the Kadosh Baruch Hu is recognizing his midos, recognizing the characteristics, and understanding how I'm supposed to use those characteristics to develop our relationship with other men as well. Okay. We'll stop here, and I guess tomorrow move on to Perek Beis. Oh no, this didn't record?
Oh no.